Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, November 16th, 2022, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 42, the third paragraph down, or the last paragraph on the page. Today's readers are Lisa N. reading the 12 steps, Monica K. reading the 12 traditions. Reading the text are Leslie M., Lorraine N., and Kara L. Our newcomer greeter is Betsy H., and sharing announcements is Shelley E. The shared ID for yesterday, Tuesday, November 15th, 10 a.m. meeting is 19,642, or 19642. And the share ID for this morning's meeting, November 16th at 7 a.m., is 19,644. I'd like to repeat both those numbers. Yesterday, the number is 19642, and this morning, 7 a.m., was 19644. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lisa N. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Lisa. Lisa, press star 1 to unmute. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, you can be heard.
Okay, thank you. All right. I wonder, Kara L., would you be able to read the 12 steps?
Sure, Kathy. Kara L. here.
Thank
recovered
you.
Recovered compulsive overeater. Just give me a second right here. I have them.
Thank you very much.
Can you
much.
Hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, we
I'm
already
so
got.
I'm sorry.
All right. Are
I
you
had
ready
to
read?
Back in.
Okay. Are you ready to read?
I can. I'm so sorry if you've started already. I had to call back in.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
All right. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service today.
Thank you, Lisa, and also Kara L. Thank you for stepping up for me. I appreciate that. Okay, Monica K., would you please read the 12 traditions?
Good morning. My name is Monica K. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought to never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Let problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be a fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service center may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought to never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought to never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always to maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all this tradition, ever remaining us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 42, the third paragraph down. I will now ask Leslie M. to get us started. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Kathy K. Thank you for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. I have since been brought into a way of living infinitely more satisfying and, I hope, more useful than the life I lived before. My old manner of life was by no means a bad one, but I would not exchange its best moments for the worst I have now. I would not go back to it even if I could. Yeah, this paragraph is just, I'm so grateful to have gotten it. The first sentence, quite as important, was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. And I have to be honest, you know, I have been in OA for a very long time. And before I got recovered, I was in OA for 28 years. You know, I continued to think that there was something else that I was supposed to be doing. So when I finally got to that point of surrender, or I'm out of ideas, there's nothing else that I can do. I just said, I had to repeat to myself, and I said this at every meeting that I went to, this is a spiritual malady that requires a spiritual solution. You know, I got entirely abstinent, and then I forgot about the food. You know, the food had to be in its place, but that was no longer the focus. I had used OA for all those years as a diet with group support. And now I finally, you know, could read the big book, go through the big book with my sponsor, and learn that this, you know, that this is, these are the directions to get to that spiritual, spiritual life, that spiritual awakening, that thing that has, you know, the food had been blocking me all that time, you know, but I could finally read it in that way. And I wasn't looking at it as a diet anymore, that the problem was the food. The problem was that I was not connected, that I didn't have the power, that I was powerless. That's my problem. You know, it also says here, I've been brought into a way of living infinitely more satisfying and I hope more useful. A while ago, I called a newcomer and they asked me, you know, so what's really different about your life today? And the difference in my life today is that most of the time I'm happy. And I have to admit that in the previous, for me, 67 years of my life, most of the time I was not happy. I was pretty miserable. I was a pretty miserable person. And, you know, so I'm just so grateful that, you know, I mean, along with the food, you know, without, you know, I guess without the food, I was even more miserable. But now without the food, you know, this is the best time of my life, which is why, you know, I did at one point, almost a year ago now, I broke my abstinence. But I knew within several hours that unless I, you know, started over again, got entirely abstinent and went back through the steps, I knew that I would be back in that miserable lying life that I had always, that I had been in before. And I knew this life of being recovered was beyond my wildest dreams. And so I absolutely would not go back to it even if I could. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leslie. Okay, we are now going to start our sharing period. And although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might get an opportunity to share their experiences too. So who would like to share today?
Bruce E.
Okay, Sarah E. Bruce E. Did I hear Sarah?
Kara.
Kara. Okay, Kara L?
Yep.
Okay.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Sherry Z.
Deb E.
Kerry E.
No, Sherry Z.
Oh, Sherry Z. Sorry, Sherry.
No,
Deb E.
Deb E.
Claire E. from the UK.
Tell me your name again.
Claire E. from the UK.
Claire E. Okay, great.
Roz G.
Wonderful. Okay.
It's Stephanie.
Who is that?
Stephanie.
Yes. What's your initial, Stephanie?
Oh, Stephanie W.
Okay. We'll stop there. So I have Bruce E., Kara L., Donna B., Sherry Z., Deb E., Claire E., Roz G., and Stephanie W. What a great lineup. Okay, Bruce. Please get us started.
Yeah, Bruce E. I'm in Southwest Florida. I'm in Lehigh Acres now since I lost use of my home in the hurricane. And I would have never thought I could have stayed recovered through something like this, and I have. It's been amazing. And so spiritual, it's important, was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. Yeah, well, if it's a spiritual problem, then spiritual principles are going to solve it. And so the more more I work this program, better I become. But at the same time, it was the spiritual stuff that came through while working the program that ended up changing my life and getting me recovered. It just came in. It just showed up when I was working this thing, reading this book with the sponsor. And it says here, I have since been brought into a way of living infinitely more satisfying, I hope, more useful in my life I lived before. So yeah, I'm in a learning process, you know. I'm learning all the time, more and more. And I'm learning that I can be abstinent and recovered going through some of the most difficult times of my life. And more satisfying. Life's pretty good, even in the midst of everything. My old manner of life was by no means a bad one. Yeah, so I had, you know, back when I was working, I had a pretty good job. You know, I was making money finally in my life and in my 50s and 60s and years old. And, you know, I was doing good. So my old life old manner of life was by no means a bad one. But my old manner of life, I was overeating. I was compulsively eating. I was eating the wrong foods. I was eating alcoholic foods. You know, so from that standpoint, it was a bad one. It was a good one as far as, you know, making money and having a pretty good career. But it was a bad one in that I was overeating and stuff. And I'm not doing that now, you know. And it's sure a lot better. Best moments, you know, I would not exchange the best moments for the worst I have now. Well, yeah, that's pretty much true, you know. I probably could have said that before with a little bit of ego, but now that I'm going through some of the worst things in my life, I'm having the best moments because I'm abstinent and I'm not picking up the food, you know. So, big difference. Plus, I'm helping other people. And I'm not helping dozens every day or a half a dozen people even every day. Well, maybe I am. I don't know. But I'm asking God to show me somebody every day that I can help, and he does. So that's been pretty good. So yeah, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce E. Kara L., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you, Kathy, for service and everybody else that's giving service today. Quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. That statement, it always gets me like in the heart and my gut, because I grew up learning that I solved all my problems, that it was up to me to work hard and to get things done, and I could solve all my problems. And when that didn't work, you know, it worked in some areas. If I put my mind to it and did things, it worked, and I was successful in some areas. And then I applied that same principle to my food problem, to my other problems in life, and I kept hitting my head. I'd have some success, and then I would fall away again, and some success. And I did everything I thought I was supposed to do, especially in this program. I worked the steps. But I never truly believed that the spiritual principles would solve all my problems. And then one day, it clicked. I realized that a power greater than me had to be there, had to be present in my life for everything. And then once that happened, everything else got easier. And I reworked these steps and I cleared up the past and I did everything it told me. And the result of these steps is a spiritual awakening. And that's what I had. And then today, you know, yeah, it doesn't mean that my life is easy. But I do have a spiritual, and I still have a spiritual solution today, right? It means that I have a way to move through life with the help of a power greater than myself, guiding me and helping me and doing the things that I cannot do for myself. And that's a beautiful thing today. And now I would not go back even if I could. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Kara L. Donna B., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. And I do spell my name D-A-N-A. I'm so grateful to be on the line this morning and having the opportunity to share. I love hearing lots of different voices, and over the last couple weeks, I've been hearing new voices, and that's been really lovely. What I want to point out is that the sentence starts with the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. It doesn't say that the discovery of an exact, precise definition of what my higher power or God is. It's talking about spiritual principles as opposed to conception of God or a higher power. And I'm really grateful for that because I think it keeps the options here broad and roomy, as we read in the big book in another part of the book. The way of living that I have right now is infinitely better than the way that I lived my life in the past. Although I don't have a solid, perfect conception of a higher power or God that just is like, yes, I know exactly what it is, I do still wake up every morning and practice prayer and meditation. I practice prayer throughout the day, and I practice prayer at night. So even without knowing exactly what I'm praying to, I still practice. I do all the actions. I do all the things that are asked of me as I go through the steps. One of the most profound changes in my program has come as a result of a really devoted meditation practice. And I'm not sure that I would have sought that practice if not for the encouragement of Step 11. I meditate twice a day for 20 minutes each time. And it's been over a year and a half that I haven't missed a single day. And I proceed my meditation with inventory. I do that on a daily basis. And after my meditation, I ask for God's will. I ask for direction. And I pause and practice a moment of gratitude for this life that I've been blessed with. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Donna B. Sherry Z., please share with us.
Good morning, visionaries, and thank you, everyone who does service on this meeting. I'm Sherry Z., normally in Los Angeles, but actually this morning in a hotel room in Chicago. So grateful to be on a meeting live, even in a different time zone. My old manner of life was by no means a bad one. When he said that, if you remember Fred a few pages back, was a partner at a well-known accounting firm, had a good income, fine home, happily married, father of promising children of college age, attractive, liked by everyone. He had all the things that we think make for a good life, except he was missing the one thing that makes for a great life, which is God. And I really relate to this because for many years in these rooms, I thought if I could get all the things that would make a good life, then I would be safe, right? I would have a good income, a good happily marriage, a kid, and I would have a good life. But then he says, as we read this morning, but I wouldn't trade any of that because what he really was missing was God. And I really get that on a deep level because I came to these rooms for 31 plus years having a good life and trying to make it great with more things. And what I realized was in order to be recovered and to have the kind of life that I wouldn't look back and say I wouldn't change it was not with more things. It was not with more goodness. It was with more God. And that means turning over everything. And for today, every morning I have to sort through the lies I tell myself, because they really source out what I don't want to turn over to God. And for today, I don't want to turn over financial security. I don't want to turn over job security. So God and I are having a negotiation this morning. And I know that if I'm negotiating, I'm not turning it over. So we have a negotiation, and then I come to the realization that I have to surrender, because I don't want to look back and say, it was a good life, but I wouldn't exchange it, because I wouldn't exchange the recovered life for anything today. I wouldn't. And even though it's much more vulnerable, much more raw, in some ways a lot more scary, it is full. It is great. It's not good. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Sherry Z. Deb E., please share with us.
Thank you. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I really like this theme of, you know, my life is, my worst moments now are infinitely better than my best moments before OA, and that this way of living is infinitely more satisfying. The thing that makes it more satisfying for me is being of service. That's the secret for me. And when I'm of service, it gets me right out of my head. It gets me out of self-pity, out of any character defect that might be trying to weigh me down. And there's just something about being of service that also just helps me connect to my higher power. And, you know, for me, like, the worst moments in recovery are, like, when I'm feeling every feeling, you know, and when they're difficult things. I've been through really hard things. And I think that before OA, I didn't think I could, like, I didn't think it was possible to feel feelings. I don't think I was conscious of this, but I think subconsciously I thought that if I actually allowed myself to feel certain things, that I wouldn't survive those feelings. I think it was that big a deal. Like, I thought it was a matter of life and death. The same way I thought, like, certain foods, like living without them, would be a matter of life and death, and that just wasn't true. And so I remember in my worst moments, you know, before, several years before finding OA, feeling like, having this recurring feeling like, is this all there is? Like, just kind of being unsatisfied with life, even though on the outside, like, it looked like everything was going so great. Just having this, like, emptiness, this deep emptiness and loneliness, feeling like this can't be it, you know, and it was that spiritual void I was feeling. And the only thing that filled that was I had to have a spiritual awakening. And I, in my experience, I had my first spiritual awakening right before I came to LA. And I think that's why when I recognized that it was a spiritual program, I connected to it right away and didn't turn away from it. And then I continued to have more spiritual awakenings. I'd realized with time that they were, I used to just call it like the light bulb just kept going off over and over and over and getting brighter. And I think it was just feeling more and more connected and just getting into that, like, into the world of the spirit. I think I'll pass with that. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Deb E. Claire E., please share with us.
Thank you so much, Kathy. My name's Claire E. I'm a recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in the UK. I was just thinking this paragraph starts with quite as important, and I was sort of looking back at the previous part of the paragraph to sort of say as important as what. And looking back through the last couple of paragraphs, you know, they've snuffed out his flicker of conviction he could do the job himself, and he's realised it's going to be quite drastic and he's going to have to throw several ideas out the window, which wasn't easy. And then the last line just says, you know, but the moment I made up my mind to go through with the process. And, you know, for me, that really sums up that sort of surrender And I really, you know, identify with that. When I came back to OA on the back of my last sort of big relapse, you know, I remember speaking to a recovered person who became my sponsor, and I was just out of ideas. And I just sort of made up my mind that whatever this woman was going to ask me to do, I was going to do it because I had nothing left. And, you know, it's that sort of compliance versus surrender that Thibaut talks about, you know, where that real surrender comes with this sort of peace. You know, a real peace that things are, you know, that curious. And I think that's what he's talking about, the curious feeling. And then, you know, then's the discovery that spiritual principles will solve all my problems. And I was just thinking about what are spiritual principles. And it reminds me in the OA 12 and 12, it talks about the sort of spiritual principle behind each step, you know, sort of honesty, faith. I can't remember all of them, but I'm, you know, trust, courage, integrity, willingness. And, you know, that willingness sort of really allows grace to enter. And those spiritual principles have turned out through working the steps to pretty much solve all my problems, you know. And I was thinking about all the different areas of my life, my marriage, my job, my kids, my house. My manner of living hasn't changed much, to be honest, since I've been in recovery. I have the same husband, job, house, but the way I am and the way I feel about those things is entirely transformed. You know, it has been solved a lot of the time. The way I feel about food, you know, my food, my eating disorder, my weight, it is entirely transformed through those spiritual principles and through working those steps every day. And, you know, this lovely phrase, you know, is infinitely more satisfying and I hope more useful. And I never used to think about being useful to others. I'd like to, you know, satisfying, happy, you know, this stuff. But, you know, I mean, I think what's really coming to mind is an example from even yesterday. It's a small example of just how things change in my life. I got back from a little trip away with some girlfriends and my husband was just not particularly attentive, not particularly seemed very pleased to see me. And, you know, old me was very reactive and self-righteous. And why isn't he, you know, da, 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 da. And I was able, you know, thank God, through the principles of this program, to pause, to go and do a step 10, to phone somebody else and get out of self, to try and be useful to somebody else, to bite my tongue, and to act from a place of love. And that is entirely grace that has given me that ability to do that and working the program, you know, 10, 11 and 12. And then I was able to react in a way that I didn't feel particularly happy, but I was satisfied. I was very grateful because I could see the way I behave has changed. And I think it was probably more useful to my family for me not to be ranting and raving and reacting and, you know, sort of very emotionally labile, which was how I used to be. So my old manner of life was by no means a bad one, but my goodness, no, I wouldn't swap it with what I have now. It's so much more peaceful and satisfying and useful and just generally, yeah, just a better way to live. And, you know, going back, I have gone back. I've relapsed more times than I care to remember in this program. And, you know, you can't unsee what you've seen. It's a very miserable place to be back in the food. Belly full of food and a head full of OA is a horrible place to be. So I'm very, very grateful for today to have the recovery I do. And I will leave it there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Claire E. Roz G., please share with us.
Good morning. My name is G. I'm responsible for the big thing that we are.
Roz, you're coming in and out. Can you do anything about that?
Hold on. Is that better? Can you hear
me
better?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes, it is.
Thank you. So I wanted to, what I was saying was that the big book tells us to get it into a fourth dimension. And we live in a three-dimensional world. But when I take those 12 steps and I practice step 11 on a regular basis, as has been described in any of the shares this morning, I'm walking into the fourth dimension. When comfortably or lay and turn be everything over rocket and just
coming in and out again, I think, Roz.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. I kicked off the line a couple of times this morning on the early meeting as well, so it could be the system. But I'll keep trying.
Okay.
I'll move around. And then it also says that I mean, there's also the six senses and having the living in the spirit. You know, to the sunshine of the spirit because I was filled with jealousy, anger, resentment, rage, fear, all of the time. And I was using food to medicate all of those feelings. And today I feel all my feelings, and sometimes that's really hard. Really hard. Because there's fears that I'm facing that have been bothering me for years that I've not been able to let go of. I'm letting them go. And it's difficult to think about, okay, how am I going to live without this? How am I going to live without that? I will live without those things because I have God to fill all those voids. And, you know, I'm so angry yesterday at my dog. I have a year-old lab, and she just needs so much attention and needs so much training. She needs training. I'm powerless over her energy. I'm hiring a high-quality trainer that's going to cost me a lot. But, you know, it's worth it in the long run. I have to, you know, these decisions I make with God, with maturity, with doing 10 steps, and I don't have to, have the financial fear and all the worry anymore. These are day-to-day occurrences that are going to keep happening as long as I live in this human form on this earth. So I thank God that my life, even though these frustrations come up, it's so much better to turn them over to God, to do 10 steps, and to live in the sunlight of the spirit and not in the anger and in the food. I hope you heard me. Thank you for your patience. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. We heard most of you, which is great. Stephanie W., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Stephanie. I enjoyed the reading, and it says that it quite as important was the discovery of the spiritual world. And it solves all my problems. And that's just wonderful to know that all the problems that I have as far as food could be solved with just the spiritual principles, just studying these 12 steps and staying within those steps and surrendering and acknowledging that I can't do it. And step one saying I can't do it. But step two says God can. And basically step three is saying I'll let God do it for me. And then we go through and we do our inventories, and then we go and we make amends wherever possible. And I think this is a beautiful program, and it has taught me a whole lot. A year ago, I had surgery, gastric bypass, and I thought that would solve all my problems. But then I found out when I woke up from surgery and started to heal that I still had this disease, sick mind that still wanted to eat, even though I had a surgery that I had to come out of my pocket with $20,000 because the insurance wouldn't pay. So I came out of my retirement. And it's weird because I found out it took that for me to really realize after 30 years of coming in and out of this program that surgery, even though it was a tool and it's helpful, it did not solve the problem of the disease. It did not solve my spiritual problem. It did not solve the disease of the mind of me constantly thinking and overthinking different foods and having different food thoughts. So I had to come back in this program and grab all the tools from this program to get my recovery going and to get it to where I need it to be. And I'm so thankful for this program. I'm thankful for the spiritual concepts that it has taught me that I know now more than ever. I know now more than ever that this program is very important and it deserves my attention, and it's something that's a lifelong process, that is something that I'm never going to graduate from, that I'm going to have to be a part of my life forever. And I'm glad to have it as a part of my life. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Stephanie W. We have time for three more shares. Who would like to share?
Mary B., Kathleen
Mary,
W.
Mary B., Kathleen W.
Melanie C.
Melanie
Mary.
C. Okay, that's all we'll have time for. Thank you. Okay, Mary B., please go ahead.
May I be heard?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Good morning, my fellows. My name is Mary B. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I'm so grateful to be on the line today. And I want to thank everyone on the line today, the newcomer, the old timer, which I am, people doing service, all the shares, the amazing beginning share. 2 days ago, I was diagnosed, I tested positive for COVID. For those of you that have had COVID, you know what I'm talking about. For you that don't know, you don't know what I'm talking about, but it's pretty bad. The doctor told me to isolate for 5 days and then retake the test. So it's really strange, but I've been in this program over 39 years now, been abstinent almost 5.5 years, thanks to A Vision for You, God, the program, sponsorship, sponsees, outreach calls, newcomers. The list just goes on and on. And I just had to cut in today. I just had to talk today. So important. Because over the past, over 5 years now, I've done lots of research. And when these people come up and they say, well, I had 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, X amount of years of abstinence, and I went back out, I always got to interrogate them. What happened? Well, I got COVID. I went on vacation. I had an argument with my mother-in-law. My husband threatened to leave me. You see what I mean? This would be a perfect time, a perfect, if ever there was a perfect moment to go out, this would be it. But thank God, I don't feel that way. The desire to go out is not there. The desire more is to do more program, do more outreach calls, do more meetings, do more whatever I got to do. Because I'm not going to allow this disease one more second of my life. It took 65 years of my life. I'll be 71 in February. It annihilated me. It annihilated me. I wanted to kill myself over this. I don't feel that way anymore. I feel I'm so loved here in Overeaters Anonymous. And you guys take such good care of me, and you pray for me, and you're there for me. You take my 10 steps, my outreach calls, when I'm whining and crying and thinking the world is coming to an end. Thank you. God bless you all. Thanks for letting me share. I love you. Please pray for me as I continue to pray for you.
Thank you, Mary B. Kathleen W., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Kathleen W. from Illinois. Thank you for the lead, for your service, for the shares. This story of Fred has been so meaningful to me, and I've been in recovery for 27, 28 years, reading the big book and going through the big book, but never has this story been so meaningful and that I can so relate to. And, you know, Fred goes from the self-confidence, I got this, I'm a successful guy, to the place, you know, he was just smashed, you know, smashed. And that word is used in the big book a couple times. His ego was smashed. His thoughts that, you know, he's got that, he's got it, he's got the answer, was smashed. And then he could do it by himself. He said he saw that willpower and self-knowledge would not help in those strange mental blank spots. And he needed every single blank spot experience, as I needed every single blank spot experience. But, you know, he was so completely clueless, although he was abstinent from alcohol there for a while, just as I have been so completely clueless as to to that spiritual experience that I needed to make me free, even when I was abstinent from food. So, I thank God for the story. I thank God for the shares. I wanted to just claim my seat. And I do feel quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve my problems. And, you know, I like the reminder from the fellowship. Yes, there are spiritual principles, and we have to walk in them every single day. And those spiritual principles are the steps. And at no time in my recovery have I been so motivated and so encouraged by the fellowship to follow those principles every day, and shown ways that I can do that without outreach calls and 10 steps and things like that. The steps have become more meaningful to me even since I have been part of the Vision Fellowship. And my life has been absolutely wonderful. Yes, I struggle with things, yes, but it's, I have more joy. I have more peace. I have more, less interest in myself and my little plans, and more interest in what I can do for others. That is a miracle. That is a miracle for me, because I'm such a selfish addict and want my time for myself to do what I want. And it's changing. It's I'm being transformed from within, and I'm seeing the importance in my life to be interested in, and also the, you know, things of others. And I'm so grateful for that. That's an answer to prayer. And do I want to go back to my old way of eating and doing and thinking? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Thank you, God. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Kathleen W. And Melanie C., you have 2.5 minutes. Go for it.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Let me grab that up here in terms of timing myself. Hello, good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Canby, Oregon. You know, I my heart sunk. I want to know if anybody else out there is like me. My heart sunk when I read this, and this is not the first time, even up to these pages, that they're talking about a spiritual experience, and I had no idea what that was. I do not know what that means. Now, I had quite a bit of religious training all of my life, especially when I was real little, lots of it, and I missed the mark. I couldn't find even the Lamb of God or the God of our understanding or Jesus or anybody. I couldn't find him. I just could not, and I had given up on that whole idea, and I really thought that I had a true bona fide adult chance to make a decision for myself to go a different way, just to be a nice person, a kind person, but it turns out I was actually filthy rags. But the truth of the matter is that I didn't know what this means. And I can say to you that there's an idea that spiritual principles are the path laid out for experiencing my life free of unnecessary suffering, with strength and resilience to experience the pain and fear that must be walked through as part of my life. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I didn't know how to do that. I ate instead. And I did that from a very, very early age. And so developmental mechanisms by which I could have a relationship with anything, much less a God to try to understand, wasn't available to me. So this is the idea. And I rewrote this particular paragraph, a little smidgen for myself. Do I believe it's important to discover how that spiritual principles will solve all my problems? And this is not, it does not have anything to do with my eating. Boy, to even separate that out was a huge, huge deal. So what I can tell you now, that there has been a transformation, that God, of this particular way and doing things, does, that Bill writes in this book, does not require too hard of terms for me. I do not have to be bowled over by those that meditate and pray and have all this wonderful soft tones in this room and do fabulous things, that I can start meditating 30 seconds a day at a time and see if that does something for me. And I'm grateful for people like me to have an answer to that. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Melanie. Thank you all who have shared today, those who have listened today. It's been a lovely meeting for us all. we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164 and follow that with the Serenity Prayer. Lorraine N., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes. Good morning, Kathy, and thank you. Good morning, everyone. Lorraine N., recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.